Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard. Not the billiards. It was...
Billiards room.
Come on already. Come on. We call it the...
The place to be.
The place to be. Yes, the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said.
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
Isn't that what I just said? What is wrong with you?
Is it the Pelicans? I didn't know it was the Pelicans.
Oh,
I
like,
nothing about the Pelicans.
Yes.
I worked during the fucking day, okay? Well, then what's the point of...
Scott Russo. What are you the point of that?
What's the point of giving the Rockers theme? I don't know! You know what? I'm from now on just going to read. And if you want to comment, be my guest.
Read things that are up to date. How about that?
Just shut up. I'm done. I'm not talking.
I don't know what the fuck the Department of Health is.
To do worse than Josh Richards. Tomorrow I'll be gone, say tonight. Fight to break up, don't come tomorrow. Tomorrow I'll be gone. There's a log on the fire, and it burns like me for you. Tomorrow comes with one desire to take me away.
Place to Be Nation, welcome back to another great episode of the one and only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, and I am squished on a couch inside the man cave with a lot of special guests, and by a lot I mean two. But first of all, of course, is my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
In the man cave, JR.
With some gross shorts showing your legs.
Well, they kind of go well. This is these are the Ted Arcidi specials here now. JR, it's always a pleasure. Welcome, everyone.
It's like,
live.
You know how there's like Santa with muscles? You're like Arcidi without muscles.
Yes. All I have is the coke appetite. Yeah, that's it. Oh, God, what a show. That's it. Good night. No. Welcome, everyone, to episode 187 of the Place to Be Podcast. PTB Nation, it is very special, as usual, because, number one, I am in the man cave at my winter, summer, fall, and spring chateau. Definitely more snow up here than I got a little bit further south than when I drove in.
It plays into
night,
your coke habit. So
exactly, yeah, lots of white stuff around me, yeah. But we have a special edition of the Place to Be podcast. We've been talking about this for a little while, about, you know, we've done a couple of things like this so far based on your requests, and we're going to do another special one today. But we're not doing it alone. He has been on the show numerous times already. Why don't you bring him in? JR.
Of course, the one and only Mr. Andrew Flanagan. Welcome.
Hello, gentlemen. I could not be more excited about seeing this classic piece of film cinema.
Yes. We are going to do Yentl tonight here.
Yeah, I don't know where you got Yentl from.
Well, I had to pick something from the 80s. If it was anything newer, it wouldn't have been as funny. So
it probably would have been. But...
City Lights with Charlie Chaplin. There you go.
Costello got her groove back.
Beer Fest. Well, we might do that one day. Don't laugh at that one.
The fact that we're doing this one sober tells you something. So,
yeah.
Okay.
We are here to do a live review of the one and only The Great Suburban Commando.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, released in 1991, filmed in 1990, starring Mr. Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan.
Yes, for those to kind of give yourselves a frame of reference, this was filmed post one of my PIC saddest moments as a wrestling fan. And that was the squashing by Earthquake on the Brother Love show.
Yes.
That was the absence. The absence was Suburban Commando. So
the absence in my heart as well. So he was here making this movie. And, of course, we'll see some familiar faces and some not-so-familiar faces pop up during this one.
Yes.
Andrew and I have seen this many times. We've basically done this podcast in rehearsal like 50 times before. So
yeah.
We already have a lot of pre-planned material, I'm sure. Yes, but
admittedly, it's been a long time since I've seen this. So this will almost be like new for me. Although I do remember seeing it when it first came out.
All right. For anyone syncing up with us, I'm going to hit play right now, but we have the HBO feature presentation graphic, so I'll let you know when we hit the actual movie in case you're watching it elsewhere from your own collection. I have it on DVD and DVR saved.
So. Okay.
Oh, mild violence.
Mild violence, uh-oh.
Well, a lot of space fighting.
That's true.
Jordan Duncan should put the kids away.
I want to see if this has the date, actually. I recorded this back on May 28th of last year, I believe, so I've had it since then.
Okay.
So, saved. Actually, it might have been 2 years ago.
So we have New Line Cinema, if anyone's trying to sync up there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good call. So now New Line Cinema presents, and we're seeing some great special effects of space.
I feel like I'm there.
Okay. I feel like they took this right out of one of the 3D rides, like at the Science Museum.
Oh, my God, look at this. Ugh. Hardware wars right here. Terrible.
And now, oh, this is some more great, right? This is like what you see like in a space porn movie or something. This is...
You're going to say, the pilot is going to be in a bikini and she's going to have her co-pilot in her lap.
They're not
and...
even trying to pretend they didn't steal this right from Star Wars.
Yeah, no, I don't care.
Right from the opening of, yeah, like that doesn't look like an X-Wing fighter.
Yeah, so there's a big space fight going on right now. Laser beams flying left and right. And we go into the plane of General Suter, who's the heel of this whole production. He's the main bad guy here, and he's got Emperor Hoshimito, I think, or something like that.
Hoshimito? Who, this guy here? The
no,
guy
no,
with the
no,
hair?
That's General Suter.
This guy? That's yeah. Hoshimito?
Hoshihito.
Looks like he's from Cleveland. He's not even Japanese. Is he a special alien?
He kind of looks like Father Wilson, who married us.
Look at that. Looks like they're playing, you know what it is, Andy? Looks like they're playing Star Wars in the background. All sitting around. Look, it's episode 4. How about that?
I don't think they ever try to explain why all these aliens look exactly like human beings either.
Yes. It also looks like that they dubbed their voice. First of all, the film quality looks like it's 1971, not 1991.
Proud, maybe. And of course, it's one of the greatest moments. Ramsay. One of the greatest moments right out of the bat. The alarm sound. And we see Shep Ramsay stomping his way through the space shuttle here. And we get the greatest take ever by General Suter, where he looks to the sky, pauses, and says, Ramsay. So a lot of fighting right now. A lot of laser beams flying. I like these guys with this...
ponytails?
Yeah, the ponytails.
Yes.
They're big in the future. Well, this is in the future. That's what I always get confused about.
Right, it's the present. It's one of the few science fiction movies to take place currently.
In the present, yes.
And Shep Ramsay is just destroying guys left and right as he makes his way through the ship, trying
just
to save
ass and taking names.
Emperor Hirohito.
I'm surprised they didn't bring the bald guy in as a heel manager for Earthquake like they did for...
Well, General Suter, played by William Ball, he actually passed away before this came out.
Oh!
In between filming and release, so he never got to see his greatest cinematic...
masterpiece.
Never got the recognition he deserved.
This is terrible, because it could have been like, you know, when they took Zeus out of No Holds Barred, they could have taken this guy as, like, Earthquake's manager or something.
All right, so these guys only have... They have black, like, buzz cuts with black or dark hair with blonde ponytails.
Yes.
Coming out with our trucker hats.
And they have skulls on... And they have skulls on sticks in displays. I don't...
That's how you know he's evil.
Yeah, heels in space. And I thought the father from Modern Family was in the back, I think.
Oh my god, even the music sounds like Star Wars.
Oh no, the music, there he is.
It looks a lot like
him. I think it's him. The music of this is phenomenal. Whoever did the score of this deserves some kind of award.
Definitely shouldn't have gotten an Academy Award there.
Now Emperor Hirohito throws a blade and slices...
That's not a bullet, it's like an envelope.
It was an envelope.
It's like the bill.
Slices General Suda's arm off and we see alien arm develop out of there. So, apparently whenever this guy's hurt, he turns into some sort of a monster. And now he's choking out Hirohito.
Hirohito from Cleveland.
May the future coach of the Browns.
Yes.
Wait, is he just abandoning Hirohito here?
Yeah, well, fuck him. He's gonna save the rest of the universe.
What the hell, Ramsay?
It's more important to cost Hirohito his life than it is to say, you know, he's gonna... If he can kill Suter.
Okay, I guess that was the
sacrifice
mission here.
Yeah.
He's
gotta
kill Suter.
Yeah. And now he's lumbering through the spaceship trying to escape. He gets into his little space pod, and he laid bombs throughout the spaceship to blow it up as soon as he escapes, I'm sure. I'm sure the timing will be impeccable. And there it is.
And there he is.
I think they should
took a minute, but
I think they should name the guys he beat up after the steroids names that he took leading into this movie. Captain Wittestraw!
Yeah. Yes.
Now the space pod is flying out of control. Shep Ramsay pressing all the buttons he can.
Is that what's going on?
It's a technical wizard, that guy.
Yes.
He's being sucked into his spaceship here. And with the great wipe cut we have inside the spaceship where he's safe.
Now he's talking to... Is that Alec Baldwin? Looks like him.
No, it doesn't.
Not at all. That was a reach. So now Shep just speaking to his boss here and saying there's really not much else to take care of now that Suter's dead, clearly. Obviously he died. We know he's dead.
We have confirmation.
Yes. The spaceship blew up. He was inside.
Yes.
That's all we need to know. even though Shep was able to escape.
So yeah, still debating here.
I wonder why Vince didn't want to be in this movie.
He could have been a great leader here.
He would not have been Suitor because he said, I want to be on longer than 5 minutes.
So basically they're saying that Shep needs, and I do know this without even hearing what's going on.
Yeah, exactly.
Shep needs a vacation. They think he's stressed out. And he's so angry, he smashes his control panel and damages his ship. And the reasoning, to Andy's point, is that they say the real Shep, if he was in the right frame of mind, would have saved Hirohito. He would have let him die aboard that ship. So they're forcing Shep to visit Earth for a vacation, which he's not happy about because he hates Earth. As we all do.
As we all do.
Yes. Needs a lot of work.
That's why Scott always tries to kill it.
Okay, so who's that guy look like then?
Not anyone. Right? What does everyone not? Everyone has to look like.
He looks like the guy that's in the scene. That guy looks like, yes.
Looks like King Lear. How about that?
He should have kept the braids in his hair when he came back.
So maybe he went to like Sandals,
Hulk,
yes,
Jamaica, exactly. And got those braids before.
Yes.
And now we're hitting our opening credits as Mr. Shep Ramsey makes his way to Earth. And to me, this is, again, one of my favorite songs of this whole thing, where Earth is a nice place to visit, but you wouldn't want to live there. The music, I actually have the soundtrack for this.
They made a soundtrack?
Yeah. It was a hit movie.
Oh, man, I forgot about this song.
Yes. This was during that early 90s, like, it wasn't New Jack, because New Jack Swing was different than this. It was like computerized hip-hop, like Vanilla Ice, kind of.
Yes,
right. You know what I mean? Like that. So now we have Christopher Lloyd here, who plays, I can't remember his name.
No, I can't either. William Ball.
No, Charlie. So Charlie's in his garage working with his tools that he loves, and his daughter tells him, let's go, Pops, we gotta get to school.
Why
and
is he fixing a skateboard?
Huh?
Yes, I know. He's doing a good job with his tools, fixing a skateboard.
For his son.
So this other structure here, this is his place where he goes to escape from his family, work with his tools, is that the idea?
Yeah, it's like his little shed.
His little man cave,
yeah, it's his man cave. Mm. Also, underrated appearance is the portrayal of his son, portrayed by Michael Faustino, brother of David Faustino.
You know, I thought the last name was familiar, but I didn't think it was the same.
Of course, from Bud, Married with Children.
Yes.
And now the wife, played by Olive Oil, Sherry Duvall. Yeah. It's a pretty star power.
It was, yeah.
For early 90s.
Remember, she was in The Shining. Yeah, right. She had a big role in that. And, of course, Christopher Lloyd was Doc Brown in the Back to the Future movies.
To land them in the early 90s, I mean, that's not bad.
No.
And William Ball.
Such a shame. He didn't last the whole way. By the way, you said Terry Bollea, but he is in the credits as Hulk Hogan.
That's right. Yeah, it makes sense.
Just to confirm.
Yeah. Still in the days of kayfabe.
Yes. He was an executive producer?
Of course he was.
Yeah, like he barely showed up, probably.
Well, he's filming the movie.
And now Charlie Wilcox, that's his full name. He is angry and he's practicing what he's going to say to his boss.
Is he asking for a raise because they have to pay the bills? Is that the problem here?
Yeah.
The main conflict?
He's got a lot of bills he's going to pay for. And now this chick, I know her from other stuff, the secretary.
She's one of those 80s stock actresses, yeah.
And here we go. He marches into the office of Adrian T. Belts, his boss, portrayed by the great Larry Miller.
Who
back
plays
when he had hair.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who plays a jerk in every movie he's in.
He steals this movie. He's the best part of this movie. This computer is fantastic.
Yes.
TTI, apparently, is the name of it. But he just presses buttons randomly, and it brings up information about everyone in the company. Scott, did you invent DOS along with you and Al Gore inventing the internet?
Yes, I did invent DOS. Yeah, it was a major program in my company 25 years ago. So I put that computer in.
10 years ago, huh? You invented DOS?
Well, I reinvented it.
Yeah, I reinvented it. Different color screen. It was green instead of blue.
Yeah, a little extra juice to it.
Yes.
And now Charlie has put together some blueprints for Mr. Belts that he's really getting excited about.
Yeah, he's really pouring over those.
Yeah, wow. He's on his knees and everything.
And now Charlie's showing off, telling him all of the specs he put into these for this brand new building he's going to be putting together.
Mm-hmm.
I do love this 80s style, like faux
expensive.
Marble? Yes.
it's probably like plastic or something.
Yes.
91 is so interesting because, yeah, they're still clinging so much to the 80s.
It's very much still the 80s. I'd say 93 is when the 90s really start.
Yeah, 91 is like 80s with a little extra...
A little more technology. Hip-hop
beat. A little brightness to it, yeah.
Yeah, a little extra bright colors.
Yeah.
Instead of just the bright fluorescent clothing, we get like the Zubaz fluorescent clothing.
Yes. Larry Miller's hair is there, but it's just on the verge of not being there anymore.
Right. He's not a full Rotella. He's about a...
Yeah. Yes. He's about 55 Rotella right now.
He's a 38th Rotella.
This is a good one. He's still clinging to it. I like it.
Still clinging to it.
Still hanging on. And he's a lot thinner, too. I mean, currently he's got more of a gut going on. So now he's got pounds and pounds of the Simeon Crystal Awards. This will play a big role later.
And where does he get these from?
Monkeys. Simeon Crystal.
I remember Larry Miller was also in Necessary Roughness, which was an excellent excellent movie.
Who was he in that?
He was the dean
who
didn't want who wanted to end the football program after all the guys cheated and everything.
He was also the doorman at Seinfeld. And here come the Asian contingent led by Antonio Inoki.
And Johnny Baba.
This is the main storyline involving Adrian Belt. So you have these three, they don't speak any English, just two Japanese men and one woman who does a translation, and they're here to collaborate on a building with Mr. Belt's company. I think it is Antonio Inoki.
It really does.
It's pretty close. I don't know, not quite, but it's pretty close. I think Antonio Inoki's a little bigger, but.
And Will Cox never gets to ask about his raise. Not very happy. He's pretty much portrayed as a miserable man right now. He hates his job. He just wants to play with his tools in his shed. Mm-hmm. And the part that really annoys me, we'll get into more, is his wife makes this big deal about them not having any money and she doesn't work. She's to stay at home. But the kids are older. They don't need her to stay at home. They're in school. I'd say go get a job, clown.
Well, Mr. Ramsey has fallen through the roof of the...
Some random building.
Random building, and he has landed.
He's made it to Earth safely. And he still has, of course, his big space garb on, his crazy outfit here.
Yes.
Which does still show off his biceps, which is nice. Mm-hmm.
So is he supposed to be an alien, or is he just like a souped-up human?
That's
what
I wish they'd explain.
Is he like a Terminator? Is he like an alien in like human skin or something like that?
Well, he calls them Earthlings. He doesn't call them humans. It's not really clear.
No.
I mean, Suter is clearly an alien.
Yes. And we have the great appearance of Casey and the Sunshine Man, I believe.
Yes.
So he's crashed into what seems to be an old nightclub, or an old discotheque, since there's disco balls hanging everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Earthlings. So just about 10 minutes in, Scott, where does this rank on the no-holds-barred scale for you just at this point?
Oh, still too early to tell. He's got to start to interact a little bit with the humans, and he's no Rip. I mean, he's not Rip yet. Rip is still at the top of the list for him.
And Wilcox already shows he's a giant pussy. He's sitting at a red light, and his goal is to try and beat the traffic to the next red light. And he pussies out and stops as everyone flies by him. This is what you tune into this podcast for, the play-by-play.
Yeah,
to get some,
of course, he's also driving, what is that, a Supra?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out, are they in California? I don't know. It seems like every car has a different license plate, though.
Oh, that's a good point.
And they all rented cars.
Look how small the tires are. My God.
Well, he's a loser. He's got a small, tiny bitch car.
Like the Chevy Volt. Except without the plug. Yeah. All right, he's mingling right in right now. He's got a duffel bag and metal outfit on.
And I like how this cop just kind of looks at him. Doesn't do anything. Doesn't investigate this guy in shielded armor with a big green duffel
Meanwhile,
bag.
Meanwhile, the shopkeeper's going to hit him with a broom.
Yeah. And this is...
Is that Dudley from Different Strokes? walking by
It's terrible. I want to go to the Natural Feast Deli.
Oh, yeah.
We got a lot of 80s hair on this chick's hair.
Oh, my God. Look at all that mousse.
And the hair products are crazy, too.
Now, are they laughing at him or attracted to him? I've never been clear on that.
I think they're attracted to him.
Okay.
He's clearly a hunk. And look at the RC Cola machine.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
The only one I ever know that even still exists, Scott, is that in one in Stanford at that gas station.
Yes.
The way, is it still there?
Is it
still RC
there.
Cola?
I believe it is still there, yes. I have to double check.
My grandfather liked RC Cola, but he was more of a Tab fan. He always had Tab in the house.
Tab? Yes. My sister liked Tab, too. And Diet Right.
And this is like the most stereotypical. It's like a Saturday Night Live sketch. You got the black guy talking all jive. You have the Indian shopkeeper screaming, frightened of this giant hulking man.
You have a dog with one of those rabies muzzles on or whatever the heck it is.
That looks pretty awful.
Baking in the sun. And you have this giant, big jerk. Sitting there.
Oh my God,
eating.
It's Jake Roberts in the window.
Well, it's like modern day Jake Roberts.
Yeah.
Yes.
This is quite the restaurant. This guy who goes to Eats Alone. It's an outdoor cafe, apparently. Looks like he's eating an omelet of some sort. And now, righting the wrong, Chef switches positions. He puts the dog in the restaurant to eat the food. And he puts the gentleman that owns the dog in the car with the muscle. And he steals his clothes. Somehow he does all this in broad daylight.
That was pretty impressive, yeah.
And in the span of about 10 seconds, too.
He leaves this guy naked in the car with a muzzle on. And walks off in his construction outfit.
Presumably the cop is still not interested.
Yeah, no, it's still doesn't care. He's too busy giving tickets out for some reason. And now Shep sees the sign, apartment for rent. So it looks like he's found his domicile.
He must be human because he understands like human words and well, English language. Yeah. So.
Well, he's an elevated life form, though. I mean, aliens are, they've been studying humans and they're aware of.
He just hates their guts. I understand this. Let his hair grow a little longer than he normally did in his when he was.
I'm guessing it's extensions.
Yeah, probably.
It is pretty even.
What am I saying? Like, he's actually going to grow it. Yeah, what am I thinking? My God. And then he pulls it off and chokes the earthquake with it. No.
And now here comes our first glimpse into the miserable neighborhood of Charlie Wilcox. He pulls in, and these guys that live next door work on hot rods, one played by Loch Ness. And
yes.
The hot rods, he leaves it parked in front of Charlie's driveway and basically says, fuck off, park in the street, you bitch.
This is so great. The guys who own 6 drag racers and just park them in the street.
Yeah, right? I mean, this is all clearly legitimate business.
Obviously.
Hooper's rear end exchange. So Charlie, not happy. And as he's going into his car to get out his architectural plans, of course, that he needs to work on at home, another car speeds by and almost runs him over, rips the door off, barely, almost rips the door off.
And just keeps going.
Yes, this punk driving crazy.
No, he doesn't take the door off. I thought he did.
Look at these punks, these teenagers.
Rascalians.
Jeremy Nichols would not be happy, this guy driving fast through the neighborhood.
Yes, exactly.
And now Charlie, sadly walks home. So, this must be summer, because it's still light out, and it's portrayed that he works a full day.
Well, I think it's I see what you're saying, yeah. Yes.
And I realize it's saying lighter out in California all year round.
It is farther south, but no, I was an idiot.
As he's walking home, we have this old war general who just sits on a beaten-up tank in his front yard, drunk, obviously.
I believe it's a Jeep, but okay.
Oh, it's a Jeep.
Yes. At least it doesn't have a front end, right, but it's something.
So he,
still doesn't explain why the weird old war veteran just sits out front drinking.
With cross eyes. So he tells Charlie that it would have been a stronger move to let the guy rip his door off, let him damage his car. And he says, it would have ripped the door off, Colonel! And now as Charlie collapses, tired from a long day of work, of haggling over plans and prices and money, his wife tries to seduce him with a wig and a kimono. You think she watched WrestleMania 7 and saw Tenryu and Katao and thought she should wear this kimono?
Yes. While stealing Sensational Queen Sherry's dress?
I don't know where the kids are.
That's a good question.
And Gorgeous George's robe.
This is apparently why she has to stay at home, because the kids aren't even around, so...
Well, she has to get herself all dolled up.
Yeah, she used to stay home and dress like a slut, so there you go.
Yeah. And now, removes the wig, and now it just looks like a geisha girl. Charlie's not in the mood. He'd rather just go use his tools.
Instead of, never mind.
Continuing this.
You opened the door, and I was gonna do it.
Continuing this loveless, sexless marriage.
This is quite a statement on early 90s suburbia.
Yes. Right? This is awful, this poor guy. I feel awful for him. What a miserable life he leads. He grabs his welding helmet and stomps out into the garage. Oh, no! In the course of a day, this housewife, who seemingly has no other skills, was able to convert a tool shed into a live-in apartment.
And go out and post posters. That's right. That it's available.
So, she painted this room, got furniture, fully furnished, a table.
In 8 hours.
A lamp.
An air conditioner.
But why did she leave his, whatever kind of tool that is there?
But the worst part is, not only did she get all his furniture in, he had like a big tool bench with yes. all his tools and everything. Where how did she get the bench off the wall?
Would she give it to the guys across the street?
Maybe they came and helped her? I don't know. They're good welders.
No, it's all in the closet.
That's right. So she also had time to jam 70,000 metric tons of tools into this closet.
There's 80 million tons of metal crushed into like a 3-foot space.
Now Charlie's about to lose it. I wouldn't blame him if he just grabbed a gun and shot everyone.
Whoa!
It just goes in.
A totally different movie.
This is definitely slugs back a carton of milk.
Yes.
Hardcore. Most guys, after a long day, grab some whiskey or something. This guy gets a carton
really
of milk.
Classic Christopher Lloyd, flip it out.
Oh, yeah. He answers the door and screams, and it ends up being Shep.
Who's apparently 8 feet tall.
Yes, this monster of a man. and he wants to rent the apartment, this newly, freshly converted apartment.
Yes.
What coincidence, what fate that she happened to hang this sign on the very day that this alien came looking for a home. Oh, she also had time to make a big dinner, apparently. There's a ham and pasta and salad, broccoli. It's quite the feast. It is worth her staying home.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, really.
Apparently
She can home decorate and cook.
Maybe this is just the longest day ever.
That's possible, yeah.
But if you look at the flip side, if you'd say, oh, maybe Charlie got home early and he helped her prepare dinner, that gives her even less time to convert the tool shed into a...
That is quite true.
The time continuum was way off on this.
Now it's dark, so...
Oh, yeah. Well, it's like 10:30 at night and they're eating dinner.
Right? Yes.
This is a pretty good renting setup where he gets fed by the family.
Right? What the hell?
They just sit back and he eats everything.
And she also had time to make like 7 pounds of mashed potatoes, but they look like they're hand-mashed. Michael Faustino does not have the acting rage of his brother.
No, nearly.
He just stares off into space.
Mr. Wilcox, not happy about this arrangement, is staring a hole through Shep. Doesn't trust him.
Oh, no, that's not ham. That looks like roast beef. Very rare. It looks like roast beef.
All right, so she made roast beef, mashed potatoes, yes. Macaroni.
Macaroni, salad, and redid an entire room.
The Shep is now holed up in. We see Charlie Wilcox trying to spy on him. Doesn't trust him.
I just trust this big, strapping, tan guy with blonde hair and extensions.
Well, he's not fucking his wife, I don't
know. Not yet.
And she puts that wig back on. Lord only knows what'll happen. Remember, he's still Elizabeth from Savage, so, you know, he's used to this kind of thing.
I like how Wilcox, very sneaky, crawls on the ground and peeks up into the window, and he sees Shep arranging all his semi-automatic rifles in his bag here.
And his weapons and lasers and...
Charlie is, wouldn't you call the cops immediately at this point? This guy, who's humongous, comes, rents your house, a part of your house, and he just has a bag full of weapons.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not Billy, so.
Yes.
Nobody has as many weapons as Billy.
All right, so Shep apparently is going somewhere, even though he's never been to Earth, and God knows where he'd be going. And Wilcox sneaks into the house and starts examining the room, going through all the bags and weapons. Would you rent this apartment?
No, it looks like a house in a convent or a rectory or something.
And where's he getting the money to rent the apartment? No security deposit, no nothing.
Nothing, no, no
negotiate anything. I mean,
yeah, no references or, you know. I thought they needed money. Now they're giving away rooms.
And Charlie plays with one of the laser beams.
Pulls the trigger because that's what you do with a weapon.
Right. Yes.
And it blows a hole through the wall, through the lampshade, through the wall. And onto one of the hot rods out in the street, lighting one of them on fire. Which apparently no other repercussions come from that either. Yes. Blows up this car. We never hear anything else about it.
This is a very dangerous neighborhood with people yes. hot rodding down the street, blowing up cars.
Tarzania, California. Uh-oh.
And now we're back, and they...
Is this Devo?
Devo?
And then the Nasty Boys come in through the back door.
They've located on the map that Shep's weapon has been...
Is that the Undertaker?
It is.
Oh, my God. Me, Mark Callis, and Tony Longo. Not good.
Tony Longo and, yes, me, Mark Callis, they've been able to track the area where Shep has gone to because the weapon sends out a signal when it's fired off. So this is not good that Wilcox is screwing around with this shit.
Yes. What a jerk.
Now, a little background. Me, Mark Callis, I believe it was Bash 90, took on Lex Luger for the U.S. title. And I think that was his last match in WCW. Then he had a hiatus, of which he probably did
I'm
this.
I'm kind of glad we don't do these in studio normally, because you look like you have, like, Asperger's, the way you're sitting talking. Like, just talking to the mic. What are you doing?
Well, this was filmed after that, or before.
Oh, this was filmed in 90, so he hadn't even debuted yet.
Debuted, but I know at the 90 bash, he lost to Lex Luger in a U.S. title match, so...
That's right, this is how Hulk Hogan discovered The Undertaker, if I remember his biography correctly.
Well, that's how he created him from nothing.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
he didn't even exist as a human.
Yeah. He was born off the ship. He hatched out of the disco ball in the warehouse.
I pulled him out of the nothingness, fully formed Undertaker.
Yes.
Now, Wilcox shaving in the mirror and doing one of his well-known rants to pump himself up. And Shep is lifting power tools to work out in the backyard. Got to keep those muscles up. So are there gyms in space or just...
No, you should just lift large metal things.
Just roid and you don't have to even worry
exactly.
about...
Exactly. Special space drugs.
Well, he's fighting space aliens all day.
That's right. So it's a lot of extra...
That's a workout all in itself.
And then he eats them for the protein.
Yes.
So once again, Wilcox being the big vagine that he is, pussies out. And is not man enough to tell Shep to leave, so he storms off to another miserable day in his life at work. While his bitch wife stays home and does nothing. Watches Oprah all day. And now Shep, unaware of the normal day-to-day life of suburbia, hears screaming in the house, charges in, grabs olive oil, throws it down on the floor. And it turns out she was just working on some stress relief, watching...
Because that's the thing that people do.
Watching Marsha
Warfield!
Yes.
I get stress relief from her, too.
I think Jim still has that TV. And now the mailman comes.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure I've seen this. Is this guy... Is he in Police Academy, I think? We'll see in a minute. Shep pulls out a knife and grabs the mailman's arm through the mail slot. Doesn't know who this animal is. I'm pretty sure this guy was in Police Academy. I want to say he was in Citizens on Patrol.
He looks familiar, but I
think he's another 80s guy.
Yeah.
Guy that's in like a bunch of movies. And
yeah. And now the paper boy throws the rolled up paper and it hits Shep and he wants to go after him.
He wants to return fire.
Olive oil stops him.
Well, as we saw earlier, envelopes are dangerous. They can cut your hand off.
Right, yeah. Slice Suda's arm off.
I don't think we can blame Hulk Hogan here at all. Or, excuse me, Shep.
Yeah, Shep, please. Now he chucks the paper back and knocks the paper boy off his bike like 10 miles down the road, apparently. So Shep is like real. I mean, he's got superpower.
Yeah.
Really smart.
Super strength. Great aim.
Good tactical abilities.
Very agile, I believe.
Yes.
Because we're about to find out.
He's a good guru when it comes to... spaceships and computers.
Now that kid's definitely in other movies, right?
That kid in the left, yeah, he's definitely been in
the
stuff.
One in the middle with
the kid in the left is Faustino. Well, this kid always reminds me of Filthball McKenna, the kid with the do-rag. He's got black sneakers, white socks, jorts that come up over his. Oh, I'm sorry, those are like the Zubaz jorts.
Those are Zubaz, yeah.
And then the do-rag. And they ask Shep to skateboard, and he can't do it. He flies off and hurts his back. And the young men make fun of him.
Oh my god, that is McKenna.
He says, "You damaged my board, what the hell?" And then he whips it into space.
A la Superman.
Yes.
And the children are scared. Poor David Faustino. Or Michael Faustino.
Michael Faustino. Oh, poor David Faustino. His poor brother got stuck in this movie.
So the colonel's still out there slugging back whiskey.
Yep.
Trying to get his name here. I know he just said it. Colonel Dustin Dusty McCowell. So he welcomes, introduces himself, and Shep talks about his rank and his army. This guy kind of looks like your dad, actually. I think we talked about this last time. Without the lazy eye and the beard.
Right, right. Like it was a little less run down, maybe.
We got to check back in like 30 years and see what that looks like. It's maybe him. And now, once again, Charlie the bitch refuses to run this light. Apparently, he's always with the same two people at this light.
Well, this is his daily commute.
Well, this is amazing. They all leave at the same exact time and in the same lanes. I'd fucking punch this lady in the face, too. Look at the scowl she's giving him.
She's getting a lot of attitude for him.
A lot of jive and music in this movie.
Everybody's going, uh-oh.
And they all make it, and Charlie, again, too afraid.
My favorite part is the people behind him who just whip out into another lane to get through the light.
So this is going to be L.A. just based on the driving. Are there mountains in L.A.? There's a lot of mountains.
Yes. Yeah, if they live in Pasadena, plenty of mountains.
I think you should write into the director and ask him where they filmed. If this is supposed to be set in Pasadena.
Is this supposed to be in Pasadena?
And here's Wilcox again. Pulls up in his little shit bug mobile.
Once again.
It looks like a California plate. But I wouldn't put it past him if they just didn't give a shit and they just happened to rent the car in California and left it on. And now the guys are mocking him again because they're blocking his driveway. Probably no one cares that he blew up the hot Hawaiian Tropics car.
Well, maybe no one knew. I mean, it was the middle of the night. No one knew where they
even lit up on fire. Like, there don't seem to be any repercussions on any level.
Oh, well, for regardless, that's true.
Right, I'm going to firebomb your car tonight. When you come out in the morning, we'll just act like everything was fine.
Well, I didn't say everything's fine, but you're saying they should beat up Charlie, and they don't know if Charlie had a laser.
Isn't that the one that got blown up, that white one?
No, I think it was
a red one. It might be the one that's in the driveway being redone.
They're fixing it?
Yeah, yeah.
And now.
Good lord, he could pick up a
drag racer.
A drag racer one hit.
And he wheels it back, but he dings the wheel. And Loch Ness and his boys are not happy as Charlie finally gets to pull in his driveway. A victorious man. And this is one of the infamous lines here, where Shep says, "What are you going to do, beat me up?"
"Let me guess."
And they say, "No.
You're going to pound my face."
This is the 90s.
"We're going to sue you." "We're going to sue you." And Shep is like, "Fuck the 90s, man. What happened in the 80s where we just fought? This would lead to a fist fight and a brawl. Fuck these lawyers."
That's how things work in space.
That's how things go down in the 8-9. Shep wants to know, "What's up, man? Where I'm from, we fight. We don't sue."
Never noticed how weird looking this car is with the teeth painted on and the two surfboards on top.
And he's got a rocket mullet, too. This may or may not be the dynamic dudes in this car.
Yes, it could be. Could be Big Johnny driving this car right now.
And they're really unconcerned about running over this child.
Well, no, they're chatting.
It's like a horror movie.
So poor Michael Faustino just gimply riding his skateboard in the street. And his car is about to hit him, but Shep makes a save as Pussy Charlie looks on and lets his son get run over.
Yes.
Now, Shep.
Is he going out for revenge on the...
Yeah. Oh,
This run is brought to you by Nike as they close up the back of the sneakers.
Shep just somehow knows the neighborhood enough to know how to track this car.
Where the roads go. Yes.
And so now they see him. Yeah, now they see him. He stands in front of the car. They stop short. Whoa, cowabunga!
John Laurinaitis puts the brakes on.
This is like such an early 90s stereotypical movie. Just everything about it.
Oh my god, that is John Laurinaitis!
You gotta show how strong the guy is by having him flip a car over.
Yeah, and even just the stereotypical characters.
Yes.
Like these two cowabunga surfer
guys, yeah.
And now Shep turns the car over and yanks the guys out through the broken glass. Which is another thing that'll go...
Again, no repercussions.
You just do whatever you want. You can strip a guy of his clothes and muzzle him in his car.
Firebomb a car.
Firebomb the car. Destroy the car. I mean,
assault two young servers.
And he turns the car and spins it and walks off. Now who's gonna come clean this mess? Yeah. Now they celebrate by eating chocolate cake.
Chocolate cake.
And it's still light out. This is like Charlie must work like 3 hours a day. He wants a fucking raise. Put him some more hours in the office. You're home early every day. Maybe it is California since it's still light out.
Only there the sun shines longest.
Charlie.
Well, I heard it's 24 hours a day is what I heard.
It's like the opposite of Alaska.
Exactly, yeah.
Charlie sets up the camera and we take a nice photo, family photo. This guy that I just met yesterday. Eating chocolate cake.
Now, is Charlie, is he good with Shep at this point, or is he still suspicious?
I think he's still suspicious.
But he realizes that he does things for good.
Yeah. He's okay.
And why is he patrolling at night, as you pointed out before? What is he doing? Is this his vacation?
Yeah, he's just chilling, I guess. I mean, it's a very safe neighborhood, apparently. Except for this right here, where some woman gets mugged.
Is this the most violent?
Oh, really? I've ever this isn't seen. Pasadena. They don't do these things in Pasadena.
This woman kind of deserves it. She's walking around flaunting her purse, like strutting in this dark alley.
It's like East LA.
Some guy steals a purse and takes off. Maybe Grant Owens, we're not sure. Shep catches him on his run. Oh, maybe he's working out. That's what he's doing.
Oh,
he's getting
his
run in.
In jeans?
Work boots and jeans.
Yes. Yeah. So we just fire him and carries this guy in stride. Grabs the purse.
Into a dumpster.
And a cut-off button-down shirt. That's
continues jogging in place while he talks to her. It's pretty awesome.
And that's it. And now Charlie, tailing him, apparently can run just as fast as the supersonic alien.
Yes. In khakis.
This middle-aged man who doesn't look like he's worked out a day in his life. Shep stops. Tie's got work boots. He must have very poor arches running in those.
I would think so.
Or strong calves, one or the other. Oh, we see a nice Ferrari in the driveway.
Is it a Ferrari or a Lamborghini?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Well, it talks either way.
Yes, yeah, the classic talking car alarm that we're all so familiar with.
Yes. Well, this is, the 90s, man. And Shep, very angry, rips the alarm out of the car and smashes it to pieces. Because whatever, we've learned in this town, in this city, you can do whatever you want.
If you're a big, hulking alien and former world champion, you can do whatever you want.
As long as the cops don't actually see you do it.
And if they see you,
even if they do.
They're just going to stare at you anyway, so.
They don't give a shit.
You make a good point.
What a shitty downtown. He's running
through this... 2 hour parking. Well, it's after 6. Although, who knows what time it is. It's going to be 4 o'clock in the morning for all we know.
Taking his run, and apparently in this alley, there's a mime. mime! There's a mime just like...
There's a mime in the ghetto?
What is going...
Well,
there's graffiti everywhere.
What passerby is going to give this mime money?
The first few times I saw this, I was convinced that was Eric Bischoff, the mime. It looks just like him. I used to like scour the credits to see if it was him.
Oh, God.
And he thinks he's pretending he's in a force field, and Shep doesn't know better, so he punches him out into the... He thinks he's helping him out. He punches him in the face.
That's how a man breaks a force field. You punch it.
Exactly.
So now he jogs to check on his spaceship. He's going to see how the power's going. Charlie's already there, apparently.
Wow.
I don't know. So, yeah.
I still can't understand how there was a mime in the ghetto.
There's so much wrong with this movie.
Yeah, obviously, Charlie, you don't live in a very good neighborhood. Poor drivers and reckless kids and muggers and evil mimes.
So Shep is checking out his ship to see if he's ready to leave yet. He just wants to get the hell out of Earth. Even though he has this beautiful apartment, chocolate cake, all he can eat.
No, some guy's wife that flaunts things at him.
Okay, they could have really taken it up a notch if they had him nail her.
Yeah.
Be like, this is what you're missing, Charlie. This is what's missing from your marriage, your miserable marriage.
That is one movie stereotype they missed. There's no love interest for Shep here.
At the end, there kind of is. We'll get there, though.
Yes.
Not yet, though. There's no story throughout. There's too much action.
Too much time.
You don't have time for love stories.
We gotta kick the crap out of some more mimes. We have no time for love.
We've got at least 20 more gags I got written down. We gotta get
there. There's too much alien on mime violence.
Yes, exactly. In the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
In the ghetto.
So now...
Charlie found the key.
Yeah, he found this star key.
Looks like a...
Ninja star. Oh. Actually, it kind of looks like the Star of David... doubling as a ninja star. So maybe it's Jewish aliens.
That's why I took such a small apartment.
Terrible.
Well.
All right, well, Hitler settles down over there. I think that's our one sponsor.
Yeah.
All right, so Charlie's now examining the spaceship. The Hulk Hogan left behind.
fascinated by the...
He is unafraid of alien technology. He just get right in
he's
there.
He's afraid of everything else.
Well, he's got a curious mind. And now Shep walking also starts hearing lasers going off, and it turns out it's an arcade. But he thinks it's real. Something real is going on. And it's just this kid playing this game, and he's trying to coach him through it, He thinks it's all legit. He thinks his kid is really facing alien ships and everything else. But
I wish Hulk Hogan helped me with video games when I was that young. It'd be awesome.
Do you miss arcades? I feel like they should.
I love arcades. Yeah. I absolutely miss
arcades. Video games are such a big deal now. You think arcade would, it doesn't have to be arcade games, but you think the idea of an arcade would still last.
I mean, exactly.
The Aladdin's Castle birthday parties were...
I know.
Now maybe with the reopening of Rhode Island Mall, they'll bring it back.
Well, I guess that's what Dave and Buster's is supposed to be, right?
Damon Buster. He saves the universe. Or the galaxy, sorry. And all the kids cheer him. Because he beat this game. I see Joust in the back.
Yeah,
I see
Joust. That's awesome. Love Joust.
I don't think that's Joust playing.
Is that Centipede thing. Next to it? I believe so.
As long as it's not Human Centipede.
Oh, God, no.
Although, Mavis Mime should be involved in that instead of this.
I think he's right to be suspicious of this mime who just hangs out in dark, rundown alleys performing for nobody.
He's still performing. He's pretending like he's climbing a ladder, and Shep wants to help him, so he picks him up and throws him up high onto this balcony by his pants. I don't know how that worked.
Maybe because he's Bischoff, he's selling that Ninja Star Wars game in the alley, and Sonny Ono left him there by himself.
So Charlie, back at the ship, still working.
Still trying to figure out what this...
I think he's just trying to avoid his wife.
Yes.
Who Shep
would call... loveless marriage.
Who Shep would call a shiksa.
The shiksa. Exactly.
Now Charlie starts playing with the armor. And he's just amazed. Because he's like... This is what I need to do for a living, working with tools and body armor.
Yes, and spaceships.
Too bad he's a studded architecture.
You never really get his thoughts on this. Does he realize Shep's an alien at this point?
Yeah, I think so. I think he does. I think he says it soon.
Just crushed his camera, all the evidence he was collecting?
Yes. Oh, damn it.
Well, he can't control this automatic power arm.
Uh-oh, he just...
Now, I find it hard to believe that Shep Ramsey is not strong enough that he needs a mechanical arm to help him out.
Well, and you're facing guys like Suter that are...
I guess that's true.
Big evil fucking alien. Lizard aliens.
Lizard aliens.
Now, Charlie using some super binoculars, and he sees into this empty warehouse where two guys are abusing this lady.
Oh, my God. Charlie, no wonder you need a raise. Gotta get out of this neighborhood.
Right?
Good Lord. There's crime at every corner.
I like this warehouse. There's the fire in a barrel. There's, I don't know what that is.
It's like a big, it's like a sewage thing, tube or yeah. something, yeah. Look at these guys.
Is it the violent thugs that
violent thugs. Get a close-up. See who these guys are. That guy's no teeth. Probably one of the bushwhackers.
And now here comes Charlie, and apparently the suit fits him just as well.
Just
as
perfectly, yes. Yes.
Let the woman go! And now he's threatening these bullies to let the woman go. They pull the gun out, and he cowers, and they shoot him. And he falls backwards, but then this is where superpowers kick in. Would you rank Shep Ramsey as like in the superhero pantheon?
He's, let me tell you something. He's cleaning up a very needed cleaned up city here. I find him. I rank him very high.
You think he should have been part of the Justice League or the X-Men? Or something?
He could have replaced Aquaman.
He could have. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. He looks better and doesn't wear tights or anything. So
you're
yeah.
saying Vincent Chase could have played Shep Ramsey?
Yes.
They should have done a reboot of Suburban Commando.
I'm or surprised the they haven't, discussed. Yeah. I'm surprised Hogan hasn't tried to bring it back.
They remake everything else. Why wouldn't they remake this?
They should make a cartoon. Suburban Commando cartoon.
Yes.
So Charlie bounces to his feet, flies into the air, and crashes down on top of the thugs.
And somehow not the woman.
Right, yeah. He just comes out with karate chops to the back of their neck. The woman is saved, her virginity intact.
Yes. She does not look like a virgin to me. Yes.
No, apparently they were going to rape a hooker. That's what it looks like.
That's what it looks like.
A lot of adult themes. Maybe that rating should have been a little worse.
I was just thinking really, that.
Very gritty, gritty dropbacks. And
it should be on HBO late night.
All this crime, all this corruption.
Uh-oh.
But Charlie, yeah, left a gun on the ground. And now...
An ominous
Tony
spaceship.
Bruno and The Undertaker.
Tony Longo. Tony Bruno. Yes, he's doing play-by-play in the passenger seat.
They see the skateboard.
A callback to the skateboard he threw into space.
And I like, you know what? This showed good good patience.
Yes. Uh-huh.
They could have
yes.
paid that off immediately, they but could they waited have, like yes. 25 minutes in.
That was quality. That's probably my favorite joke of the whole movie.
But now they locate a signal that the gun that Charlie left on, and they've targeted exactly where Shep is on Earth.
Which does not look like California, but what do I know?
I like how they don't speak.
But the other point is, wouldn't the skateboard have, like, disintegrated in the atmosphere before? It's like
no,
a super
Charlie
skateboard.
Charlie made it out of, like, super stainless right. steel.
Stainless steel, yeah, exactly.
Could, I didn't get to look at the map. Could you tell where they were or no?
No, no, I couldn't. Yeah.
Like Vancouver or something, maybe.
Yeah.
I guess they never said they were in America.
No.
That is true.
Just assuming.
This so, could be an alternate reality.
Shep's probably. Chilling out, taking a nap.
But it's too loud in the neighborhood. He doesn't like it. He comes out and screams for everyone to be quiet, and they immediately listen, the whole neighborhood.
Well, at this point, he has a reputation.
Right now, I believe Shep is wearing the exact same outfit that Hogan wore on the cover of the Piledriver album, is yeah. what I think it is.
He's had it on this entire... This is the guy's clothes. He's never washed them.
Never yeah. taken them off, never cleaned them.
And there's a t-shirt, too, as part of this. And that guy was gross.
He was disgusting.
I think it was T.L. Hopper.
Now, this girl has left her cat in a tree, so Shep's going to help her. Typical little bratty early 90s movie kid.
This way he knows how. He pulls a branch all the way down.
And she says, it's not my cat. That's a different pussy. So he snaps the branch back and the cat flies into space. Oh, here we go. This is Matt Rotella's favorite. This old woman with a quilt around her. She's about 3'9", testing cantaloupe. And she's teaching Shep how to find a good one. Bananas, 59 cents a pound. Where's that lay? That hasn't changed much, has it? How much are bananas a pound?
I honestly don't know.
They're probably slightly more. They're probably maybe like a dollar a pound now.
Seems like it haven't really gone up, though, the banana trade.
No, the banana trade has done well in the last 20
The banana
years.
Market is very stable.
Yes.
Don't buy any banana futures. And Shep squeezes the cantaloupe, and he says, I found a good one, and it splatters all over this old woman, who I guess is Native American.
Oh, look, it's Eric Bischoff again.
Eric Bischoff the mime.
Who has a weird bandage on his chin.
Yeah, well, that's he obviously sliced his chin open, but he's right back at the mime game the next day.
Yes, he's master of his craft.
And now he runs off when he sees Shep. Now we're back at the disco.
The landing pad.
The landing pad.
The landing, that is a great name.
It is. Let's start a disco called the landing pad.
A little, wasn't that the name of the strip club in Friday Night Lights?
Was that the launching pad?
No, the landing strip.
Yes, that's what it was, landing strip.
Even better. Wow, this movie would be better if Tim Riggins walked out of the laundry pad.
Yes. Yes, I concur.
Uh-oh. Shep has realized the bounty hunters are nearing, and he starts rifling through his gear, and he realizes someone had been fiddling with it. But you know what? He gets mad that someone touched his shit. You're leaving it in some abandoned warehouse open. I mean, come on. What do you expect?
He just drops the key on the ground, lets anyone, where anyone can find it.
And now apparently he knows where Charlie works.
I was about to say, how did he know where to go?
He storms in to this architectural belts architecture building. He gets into it with the fiery secretary. I keep thinking it's the girl from Perfect Strangers that marries Larry, but it's not. They look alike.
Oh, yeah, huh? Are you sure?
I don't think it's her.
Hmm.
And he literally takes a seat by picking up a bench. Joanne Daring played Margie Tannen.
Hmm.
She does not have a Wikipedia entry. I'm going to check her IMDb.
Hmm. Meanwhile, Mr. Belts comes out with the as Larry Nelson would call, the Asian Tag Team Champions. Out of the office there.
He just blows off Shep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they don't care, because he wants to tell Wilcox what he needs for his Japanese contingent. Belts is very demanding. Typical 80s boss.
Oh, yeah. Tries to take all the credit.
With some very bad
work.
And some bad ties, my God.
Yes.
Terrible, bad designer ties of that. Wow.
All right, Joanne Daring is actually still does stand-up.
Oh, really?
Here's her filmography, or TVography. She's a soap opera actress in Honky Tonk Freeway.
Very nice.
Soap opera woman in Cat People. She played Susan in Chud 2, Best of Chud, or Bud the Chud.
I like Best of Chud.
Best of Chud.
Miss Barron in the Came from Outer Space, the TV series. Margie Tannen here in Suburban Commando. She played an art teacher in Step by Step. She played Beth in An Element of Truth. She played an extra's mother in Hugo Pool. And a nurse in Crazy Love in 2005.
Oh.
And continues to be active in stand-up. She's born in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Wow. The Kenosha Kickers. Boca, boca, boca.
Oh, I forgot she pulled a gun on him.
That's right. Wow, she got to take care of business.
This is not a safe neighborhood, I understand.
But now there's not a safe office. Got the office. So
Shep and Charlie, Shep wants to know why he played with his toys. And they go out to Charlie's car. Now, if it wasn't a piece of shit enough, Charlie fumbles around trying to open the door. So Shep pulls him out of the way and yanks the door off the car. It's kind of a bad neighborhood for this nice building to be in.
Now, look at that. More graffiti and...
Maybe this was like filmed in South Central. All right, so the driving. Shep is explaining to Charlie exactly why they need to go find this thing because the bounty hunters are on their way. And this is where all the truth comes out. Shep explains who he is to Charlie and is directing him with one of the earliest versions of navigation with his little octo. What's the thing for Ghostbusters?
the ectometer, or ectometer, whatever it's called.
This was originally titled Urban Commando. It was intended for Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
But they did twins
instead. But
instead
they did twins?
They did twins instead. The script was bought by New Line as a follow-up to another Hulk Hogan film, No Holds Barred. Written by Frank Capello.
Hmm.
So it doesn't say where it takes place. President Hashina was the guy, not Hiro, you know.
I was going to say, sounds a little...
It doesn't say where it was filmed, though.
Yeah.
So now they go to the ship. And now they're able to zero in on the...
Is it detect bounty hunters? What does this thing do again?
No, it detects the signal.
Which signal?
The one that Charlie left on with the gun. Come on.
I'm trying to remember.
You haven't been following the movie? It's obvious. So now they're driving in this car, and Shep is directing him with the ectometer. I'm pretty sure that's the exact one, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's an exact copy. The exact one they used in Ghostbusters.
They probably found it in the warehouse.
Yeah.
Like, oh, let's use this thing.
Well, it's definitely in some, like, props bag somewhere.
In the white props bag with the wigs and the shirts.
Yep, exactly. On wig.
Charlie's a pretty good... He did a lot of things well for being such a loser.
Yeah, right?
He's a good driver. He's a good welder.
When it's really important, he can drive.
He's a fine architect. Yeah, right? He can fly around now. Okay, that's not a California plate. It's just a random plate.
It's just blue and yellow. It's not an actual state.
They live in a utopia.
I was trying to see if I could see the gas prices at that gas station.
What's the opposite of a utopia? Dystopia?
Dystopia, yes. Oh, no.
So what is this?
They arrive at a bank, and there's a Brinks security truck guy, and he's frozen solid with a gun out. Charlie's impressed by the freeze gun.
Howard Savings and Loan.
We should look that up. I wonder if it's a real place. So they walk
more
into this...
More frozen cops.
They walk into Howard, yes, and everyone's frozen, including the cops and all the people that happen to be in this bank at the time.
And the dogs. Huh. Oh, and Charlie Norris.
That's a pretty gross little chulo there. Howard Savings Bank. Howard Savings Bank in Glenview, Illinois. There's one in Howard, South Dakota.
Maybe they live in South Dakota.
Let's go with that for now.
Okay.
Those are the only two Howard Savings alone I could find. And this is my favorite part where they play Christmas music.
Yeah, I was
frozen.
About to say. They play
to signify that everyone is cold and frozen.
And they've opened the safe somehow. And now they're in there, stuffing money in their pants.
Charlie takes too long to go over the...
Is that a word processor they have on there? The bad guys that we saw earlier...
Have not changed their clothes either?
No. Well, after they tried to hate rape the...
the hooker.
The hooker. Now they're at this bank stealing money. But they use the... Alright, so what happened is Charlie dropped this gun when he dove on them and they found it.
And now they're using it for nefarious...
For nefarious means.
Yes, they're freezing these people, stealing money. Now Shep is beating both guys up as Charlie stands there with a dumb look on his face.
As he does every time Shep beats someone up.
You know, he picks up the freeze gun. But he fights with one of the thugs over it. Like a bitch that he is.
As usual, Charlie, useless as he is.
Shep gets frozen.
Oh no, what's going to happen now?
But he's okay.
How's that possible?
He's drinking antifreeze.
Oh, my God.
So apparently he just keeps antifreeze on him.
Well, why wouldn't you?
All right, so I guess that confirms he's...
thugs with a freeze, right?
I guess that confirms he's not human.
Yeah, exactly.
And he's drinking antifreeze.
We should test that tonight.
Yes, let's try it out. And, we'll do a YouTube video of it.
We'll tout it.
We'll tout it.
He wipes out both bums, but it turns out Charlie has been frozen.
And then someone blows up the bank wall.
They blow through there, and it turns out to be...
The intergalactic skyscrapers.
Bruno Mars and...
Bruno Mars!
And the Undertaker.
That's the best one yet.
I really think it should have been... I think they should have gotten Sid Vicious to be with me, Mark Callis, and they could have been the intergalactic skyscrapers.
Bruno Mars is like, I'll take a grenade for you, Undertaker! I guess, what's his name? Already took a blade to the hand, Suter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so Shep escapes.
He picks up Charlie.
Yep. Throws him in the car, and now Taker and Mars are upset.
Mars. That should have been the sequel movie.
Taker
they
and
seem
Mars.
Completely Taker mystified by the fact that these people are frozen.
Wouldn't like, they know? I mean,
they have no understanding of this weapon, apparently.
So Shep knows how to drive the car in traffic downtown South Dakota, and Charlie is frozen, but he's out the sunroof.
Yes.
So probably this shit car has a sunroof.
I was going to say, it's the crappiest car with a sunroof I've ever seen.
Yes.
Now they're back at the warehouse, or at the launching pad. And Charlie becomes unfrozen, but he's got a really bad headache.
Oh, finally. Could have been hours like he was like that.
Yeah. Right? I mean, just frozen in time, like Ted Williams.
Well, now it's night, or it could be the next day.
Well, we're inside.
We don't know how long a day it is.
It's always dark and dank in this.
Oh, that's
in
true.
The landing
disco.
Pad, yeah.
In the disco. In the landing pad.
Disco ticker. So Shep now is still working hard trying to fix things.
Now, what is his goal at this point? He just wants to get off the planet?
Or yeah, because he wants them to follow him.
I see. He wants to... He's protecting Earth despite his distaste for it.
Right, and Charlie's basically saying... Or Shep is saying, you know, 10 minutes with these annoying pieces of shit on Earth. These guys are going to go crazy and wipe out everyone. And now Shep is explaining all the politics of intergalactic warfare. Where he stands.
Yes.
Where Bruno Mars stands.
Bruno Mars stands.
Bruno Mars is one of the greatest killers in the universe.
Yes.
He's still trying to process all this, Charlie.
I'm not getting it either, Charlie. I'm with you.
He's like, wait a minute. You look like a human. You drink antifreeze.
You speak English.
You eat cake. You eat cake.
You speak fluent English.
You kill mimes.
All right, so now Taker and Bruno are in this stolen car.
Presumably they just killed a married couple.
A just married sign and flowers.
Hey,
and
look, another RC Cola sign. All right.
And Shell. Old school Shell sign. Yep. And the Surfenberger guy taking the order of these intergalactic aliens assumes that they just got married because he sees the car. And they blow off part of the sign. Can you see the burger prices? No.
No, I couldn't see.
Is it such a place as Surfenberger? So now I'm back to thinking we're in California. Because why would you have Surfenberger in South Dakota?
Yeah,
exactly. Or Vancouver.
Plus the two surfer guys with surfboards.
I do not see a place called Surfenberger.
It's a Surfing Donuts, apparently.
Actually, what's this one? Surfenberger. I don't know. It looks good, though.
It looks horrible and awesome at the same
time. Wow. I saw some nice onion rings there.
I'm glad the whole podcasting world can see it.
Yes, yes. Let's go to Surfenberg. We don't know where it is.
But... I'm assuming that most of them are turning this off.
But... At this point, we have an audience.
Except maybe
three.
Josh Richard. He might be the only one.
All right, so Shep has tried to fix the ship. It has blown up on him. So that's it. Now it's short-circuited again, so they're out of luck. And now Shep says, me and you, buddy, we're going to take out these bounty hunters. And Charlie, being the big puss that he is...
He's trying to talk him out of it.
Yeah, he's like, this is your fight, bitch. I didn't come here. I didn't tell you to come here. And he's like, well, you're the one who shot my weapons, a-hole. I could have been eating chocolate cake and terrorizing the neighborhood.
Maybe had a night
hitting
with your
on wife.
Yeah, now this is a heated fight in the yeah. in the apartment.
All kinds of tension.
This is a classic Christopher Lloyd rant right here.
Yes.
Says they were all fine till Shep arrived.
No, they weren't.
Brought his stupid war.
And your clown shoes.
And there it is, the classic, I was frozen today. Epic line. And Shep says, fine, you want to be a woman? You want to be a bitch? You stay home. Let the man go out. That's basically what he's saying. Very demeaning here in the early 90s.
Yes.
And he says the only way they can save things is if you can find about 45 pounds of, guess what?
Simeon Crystal.
Simeon Crystal. Belts.
Belts.
So this just happens to be the night that Belts is having his big formal swag.
Is this for the Japanese investors? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yep, it's for the Asian tag team champions there, Inoki and the Baba.
So they arrive, they've found tuxedos during this time, and they arrive at this swank building for this party.
Never thought about that
No,
before.
Hogan bringing out the tux from the 85 Slammies.
I probably get their ears pierced in space as well.
Yes, definitely. It goes with the braid.
Very 90s. And here's Marge. Trying to be a bitch. Get in the way of the guys trying to get their thing done. Trying to find the monkey crystals.
I think she's trying to get some action, isn't she?
I think so, too. She's a pretty big slut. I remember as a teacher in Step by Step. So, Shep doesn't even know what football is, so he's definitely not American. Or even the other football.
That's true. He's not aware of the term being referred to as sport.
So Shep and... Charlie make hay and get out of there as Marge is very upset.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get the crystal, the Simeons. Shep showed a little interest there, though. He said, why are we leaving? So did you notice there was, like, Japanese inscriptions all over the elevator?
Yes. I did notice some runes there. I was not sure what that was about.
So is this the building that they're building for them?
I have no idea.
No, because there were inscriptions on the elevator in the office, too.
Well, they're all Japanese flags here, right?
So did they put those on just for the... Oh, you're saying they had them on there before?
I think they're on the elevator earlier when they were in the regular office. They were on the elevator door, too.
Hmm. So is this secretly owned Japanese company?
Yeah, maybe it is. No, they're in the office.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Maybe they're outside. Maybe there's like a, you know, like an outdoor terrace or something.
I guess.
Because.
So they go into Belt's office.
How cheap is this guy? The guy's rich, but the party's at his office? I mean.
No, it's a nice building.
Yeah.
So they go in the room to get the Simeon Crystal, but it's all gone. It's already been moved to the new wing.
What a disaster.
So now apparently they have a bunch of weapons stashed in Charlie's car.
Cleverly disguised with a blanket.
Yes.
Yes. A pink
blanket. No one would know.
Charlie, give me that pink blanket. Cover up these weapons. So now they use their spy binoculars, and they've located the Simeon crystals. Well, they're trying to, anyway. Can they find them in time? I don't know. There they are. Nope.
That's not it. Not behind the bubbles.
It's found Belts, at least.
Maybe Belts is made of Simeon crystal.
He's just randomly searching the building. I don't know, just ask Belts where they are.
Well, they don't want to raise any flags.
There it goes.
You're like, Belts, where's your 45 pounds of Simeon crystal? It's quite the skyline now as this beetle spaceship lands.
Yep.
Or spider, I guess.
Very ominous.
And now Belts and the Japanese contingent are in the new wing.
Mm-hmm.
He's showing off his Simeon crystal. And Belts, the whole point of this is Belts doesn't know how to explain the architectural plans to the Japanese contingent. So he relies on Charlie.
Yes.
But the Japanese are onto his shit, as we see through the subtitles.
Yes.
So Shep tells Charlie to get Belts and then the Japanese people out of here so they can go ahead and take the crystal and get back to the ship. Charlie's very smug here because he knows all the architectural secrets.
Yes, I
is
do.
Is this him finally growing a pair, or does that come later?
That's later. But he's kind of setting it up now.
He's aware that he has some leverage here at this point.
Yes. He knows he finally has Belts hung.
Literally.
What?
Well, he says you have them hung. Like.
All right, so Belts leaves. And here we go. Charlie and Shep now start to steal with garbage bags.
Yes, just dumping them in a small garbage bag.
Garbage bags. What a way to take care of such rich crystals. Yeah. Uh-oh.
It comes Undertaker and Bruno Sammartino.
The intergalactic skyscrapers.
Now Marge is not happy. She has a gun because she doesn't want them to steal the Simeon crystals.
She is just all about the gun.
But before she can do anything, here come the bounty hunters.
Where is she hiding that gun in that dress?
Callus and Spivey right here.
They kick their way in. You know, for a while, I thought that was Bryan Adams' crush as a child.
Oh.
I think I just assumed it had to be a wrestler since
exactly.
The other one was.
Uh-oh.
So we're really setting up here for a major brawl between these guys. Shep has a metal pole.
Yeah, he's beating the crap out of them with rebar. A buddy caught it.
And then they bend it back and forth there to show off their super galactic alien strength. He bends it one way. Crush bends it one way, Taker unbends it.
Fascinating.
And they give it to Shep, who does some work on it as well.
It's got intense concentration on his face here.
Yeah, well, so it takes
a
lot
to bend that out, and he makes a bunny.
For God's sakes.
I got to work on that. By the next time you're here, Scott, I'm going to bend you a rebar bunny.
Oh, I wish you would. And take it in less time than it took Shep. Oh.
He was really distracted by that bunny. That was a good 10-15 seconds he was not paying attention.
So Crush falls to the floor, and now Undertaker has lit up his jet boots here, and he spears Hogan Edge style through all the walls.
Yep. You know it'd be great if Michael Cole popped out of like the shelf and said it's the hardest hitting striker in this movie?
Taker ends up with a mouthful of pushpins.
Oh, yeah.
They spits out at Shep. It's covered in post-it notes as they fell into the supply closet. This is a good, allegory of office life.
Yeah, absolutely. What is this crap? Those packy peanuts?
Yeah, I think so.
Shep sticks
two paper clips into the rocket boots,
and that sends Taker hurtling through the ceiling of each floor here,
unable to stop his ascent.
I like that little face to make out of his hands.
He looks very worried.
But now,
just imagine the Farouk voice while he was doing that.
No, please no.
Not through the ceiling.
So now Crush reaches up and pulls Shep down to the basement here. And now they begin to brawl. Wow, that's a pretty good joke goal he's got on him.
Yeah.
Who do you think was a more impressive bounty hunter? Who do you think's been more effective in their role?
Well, Bruno Sammartino's a legitimate actor, so he's showing the pathos more of a hired assassin. Whereas, you know, Undertaker pretty much is his character with a dirtier coat on.
Still has a curly red mullet going.
Yeah.
Now they're brawling into an elevator. How many floors are in this building?
No, please!
And he rockets up into a bathroom where a woman was on the toilet.
And somehow that finally stops him.
Yeah, but how does she get off the toilet okay?
Yet his head is stuck in it.
And his head is stuck in the toilet.
So I guess porcelain is their kryptonite? Is that what it is? I guess so. They can't blow through porcelain?
That was a well-made toilet, then. Only the best, Razor T belts.
Yes.
That's right.
So they're continuing to fight on the elevator, but it's flying down, plummeting at them.
Oh, they're in the shaft.
They're fighting the shaft.
That is the fastest moving elevator.
It's a freight elevator. Shep escapes, but Crush trips, his foot stuck.
And he is crushed.
But Shep has been wounded. Elevator opens. And Shep asks if this is a tag team.
I forgot about his voice.
Taker finally talks.
And Taker sounds like Sapphire.
There was a joke I was going to make, but I'm not going to make it. So now they're fighting again.
Boots go off again.
So this is like Tuesday in Texas. The earlier fight was like Survivor Series 91.
This is 91. This is the rematch, Tuesday in Texas.
So Jack Tunney should be showing up any moment.
Yes. Where's Ric Flair holding the chair?
Like I said, the score has been phenomenal. Setting the tone for these fights.
Yes.
It's the right mix of comedy and action.
Shep somehow is able to slip free. Taker goes flying into a wall. And game over, according to Shep.
And you lose.
You know, one guy got crushed by an elevator, but he just flew into a wall. You think... Actually, wait. Okay, does he careen out?
Yeah.
Okay. Still, though, it seems like it would have taken more to get rid of him.
Well, that seemed like a solid good 6 inches of concrete there. That's probably good.
So who cleans up this mess? Do the cops come for this, too? Because they're aliens? They just, like, shrivel up and disappear? So belts now. It's late into the night, and the Japanese contingent still waiting for the plans. He's trying to show off his TTM computer, or whatever this is. And he's stammering, trying to explain how a building is put together with
nice polka dot tie.
Floors separating by walls.
He does have a polka dot bow tie.
He's got my polka dot bow tie on, baby. It's not the right colors, though. So Charlie and Shep, back at the launching pad.
Since when did Charlie get velour seats in his car? He has no door, but he has velour seats.
His car is amazing.
Now, what is he trying to convince him of here?
To stay and live a normal life. Now that the enemies have been wiped out. So this is your chance to be normal, to live a regular life, not be chased. He says, fuck you, you don't know what normal is. Live in this hot, desolate land, these murders and angry people and
mimes
and an ice-cold wife.
But lots of chocolate cake and mimes.
Boss doesn't respect you, neighbors don't respect you.
This is where you want me to live, this paradise? I can go... jet setting around the universe. He says, we don't say goodbyes, Charlie. I say thanks. And a dejected Charlie gets back in his car and drives off. We cut back to the Wilcox home. Must be very cold. Too poor to afford the heat. She's walking around with a blanket on. Sad. Does not know where her husband is. Is that a flat screen TV?
No.
It's a poster.
At the door, at the front door, there's a TV?
I don't know. These people are fucking whacked.
The bedroom's right there at the front door.
This is a shitty house.
It really is.
No wonder they're broke.
And now the doorknob is burning to the front door.
That's the easiest way to break in, as everyone knows.
Home Alone, it kind of worked. Actually, it worked the opposite way.
Exactly.
And General Suter lives.
How is that possible?
What?
We see his silhouette.
We saw his ship explode.
There's no way he's alive, but now he's broken into the Wilcox home.
It actually looks like Mr. Fuji.
And he finds the picture of the chocolate cake incident, and he knows that Shep is here. Charlie arrives home.
With velour seats and no door.
But why is the door open? Did the colonel break in?
Is he looking for another bottle of Chivas?
Who is the colonel? He's out there all the time patrolling. Yeah, he's not out here now.
Maybe Suter took care of him.
They should have showed that. So he comes in the house, trying to figure out what's going on. Now, they have like doors that you'd have like in your garage, like throughout the house.
Yeah.
Those cheap plywood ones.
Yeah, what the hell? Here comes Jenny and the kids.
Everything seems okay for the moment. But
what?
Suter arrives. And Charlie says, "You were dead. Shep told me the whole story." And he says, "What are you saying? Are you the partner?"
I don't know. So I was just hoping you remembered that.
And he explains to her what's going on. Charlie quickly fills in his wife, but the madness. And says, "Bitch, if you never converted that place to an apartment, we wouldn't be in this mess.
I could be building my skateboards."
You screwed up everything. Suter pulls a gun. Can do the world a favor and shoot David Faustino's brother. Shep back at his...
Really down on Michael Faustino, huh?
That's nothing.
The sister's not doing much of anything either.
Well, they are two of the more useless kids I've ever seen in a movie.
Yes, yeah. In any family movie.
They're basically just props. Charlie shows up at the launching pad, and he has Suter.
Suter!
I've never seen Shep look so frightened.
I know, he's terrified.
He was not afraid of The Undertaker and Crush, but he's afraid of a guy that looks like...
Well, William Ball's got quite
looks
the...
like Vern Gagne with a cape.
So Suter starts firing away.
Using the Wilcoxes as human shields?
Yes. He's kind of a pussy too, Suter, when you look at it. When you break it down.
I mean, he is a giant, like, bug alien and everything, but...
So Suter lines up the Wilcoxes, execution style. And he's standing there with a gun, and Shep is in his ship. And Suter dares him to fire at them. And he says, "I can tell by this picture of this family you've known for 3 days."
Who gave you chocolate cake?
You care deeply for these people.
And he does not. He fires at the wall anyway.
Charlie takes a vicious gun whip to the face.
Yes.
Pistol whipped as Suter grabs the daughter and threatens to shoot her. And Shep pretends he doesn't care. He says, "I'm as cold as ice. I'm willing to sacrifice this family." But Shep quotes the great Colonel Dusty McGowan. And says, "Sometimes you have to lose to win." So he sets the bomb to go off, the auto-destruct on a ship, and he emerges. And he lays out the deal. He says, "You let the Wilcox family go, and you can do whatever you want with me." He's got 3.5 minutes to make this happen. Now let's check the real time. So it's 3:53. Let's see if this really goes 3.5 minutes. So he basically says, "I don't care about the Wilcox. I'm going to let them go." Charlie leaves with the brood. Scott, what's your prediction here?
I have a feeling that Suter is going to die. It's a trick. It's a trap.
Well, let's find out. Suter is shooting all around Shep, messing with him a little bit. Down to 3:10, even though it's been a minute and a half. All right, so we're clearly not in real time.
No.
That was more than 25 seconds, I believe. Shep, never too dangerous situation for some sarcastic barbs. Sure, this guy's got a gun.
This is how you're going to take me out, by boring me to death with speeches.
It's funny, that's what I say to Scott every week when we do the show.
Now, where are the Wilcoxes headed here?
To this convenience store. In the middle of the ghetto, which is obviously a much safer place. Charlie wants to go back and...
Charlie, you can't leave me here at the store.
Well, she makes a good point. She's like, what the hell? You don't owe this guy anything. We need you here.
Yeah.
And he's like, nah, I'm going to go help this alien war. Go get involved in this.
It's your fault, honey. You brought him into the apartment.
Right, yeah. I'd be like, you go back. Well, me, it's kind of like, you know what? I'd rather be over there than here.
Only another 30 seconds have gone by.
Yeah, he's driven, like, what, 10 minutes away?
So now, yeah, right?
I mean...
He left when he set the thing. So Suter are firing away at Shep.
Who's not moving.
Missing terribly.
Well, I think that's the gimmick.
Right.
He's fucking with him, saying he can do it any time.
Ammunition is not a problem in space.
And here comes Wilcox flying back in with his piece of shit car. Shep takes a bullet to the same arm that he
was previously wounded.
It looks like he was struck by the explosions. So Charlie
struck the explosions.
Charlie flies in with his car, runs over Suter.
Yeah, somehow blindly just knows where Suter is and manages to crush him against the wall there.
Killed so, by him.
Checking out Shep.
Yeah, it looks like Shep's down for the count after getting his arm torn by this laser. Charlie tries to go out Suter, but it's useless. Suter busts him down to his knees. I'll tell you, William Ball really gets the arrogance.
Oh, yeah.
The arrogant, you know.
He does.
And Charlie puts on the mechanical arm and squeezes Suter's balls. But Shep knows this is not good news because he remembers the envelope incident from the ship. Anytime Suter's in great pain, he transforms. And here he is. Alien Suter arrives.
Ooh. My God. Quite horrible.
Quick transformation.
Oh my God, he looks...
It's like a cross between the Predator and, like, Swamp Thing.
Yes.
He's got nice abs, though.
He does.
And there's a lot of ribs.
All right, so he's trying to pick apart Charlie as Shep tries to make the save. Things do not look good here for our heroes.
Not at all.
As Suter's just clubbing on Shep. Chucks him into the bar. We got 48 seconds remaining. Well, that's more like 3 minutes, probably.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're almost 4 minutes from when you first hit the thing, so. TV time here.
So Shep trying to do anything he can. Weapons, everything. Suter just pounding on him. Making him humble. Suter's pretty gross.
Very gross.
He is very gross, but quite strong. We have 30 seconds left.
Weren't they just 30 seconds left? Like 10 seconds ago? So, Shep rips apart a power cord and electrocutes Suter.
Apparently knowing his only weakness.
Casey and the Sunshine Band fires back up. Probably the only song that ever played in this disco. Yeah. No one ever went out of business. All right, we get down 15 seconds.
That was 17 seconds?
Shep picks up Charlie, and they evacuate the building, leaving the car behind. And the launching pad is about to implode like the Astrodome.
There we go. Goodbye, launching pad, landing pad.
Fire everywhere.
Goodbye, crappy car.
Yeah, goodbye, Supra with velour seats and no door.
Oh, the cops finally show up.
Here. I've
been trying to solve all those mind murders.
Yes.
Now, this time we know Suter's dead. There's no way he got up there.
No, no way. Even though, maybe if there was plans for a sequel, they could have survived.
I think I would have changed the movie and made Michael Faustino the alien.
He could have done a prequel.
Yeah, The Rise of Suter.
So,
The Rise of Suter.
So Shep and Charlie have escaped the burning building. The family's reunited. They get back to the life of him being miserable and her staying at home doing nothing. Shep can have his chocolate cake.
Yep.
What you call him?
The finest man she's ever known.
Well, she doesn't get out much.
If she keeps shaking his head, he's gonna.
All right, and we are still these Japanese people still waiting for the plans.
Apparently, oh still in
he's
the
got
same...
a polka dot cummerbund too.
Well, now he's just telling jokes about Godzilla. And Charlie finally arrives with the plans. He's got a huge gash on his cheek, and Belts doesn't seem to care.
No.
Charlie says, "Explain your incompetence." I mean, Belts tells him to explain his incompetence, but. Charlie basically tells him to F himself, hits him in the head with the plans, and tells him to explain himself, and he walks out, finally quitting this miserable job. Presumably to start his own
skateboard making business.
Yes.
I was like, oh, his own architectural studio. This is the last we see of Belts. It's a sad moment.
Presumably he's killed by the Japanese investors.
Yes. Yeah, they put him in some type of torture rack.
Inoki is not happy. All right. Finally, Shep has some new clothes.
Nice.
He's got the Zubas and the tight shirt.
Zubas and the tight shirt and unbelievably hideous sneakers. Oh, those are very bad Chuck Taylors.
Yeah.
Oh, terrible Chuck Taylors. Red shoelaces.
There goes the ice cream truck.
Why does the ice cream truck fear him?
Because he screamed at everything before. Remember? Shut up.
I see.
Here comes the kid from the arcade. Talk about how they beat the bad guys and save the universe.
Nice spiked hair.
Looks like the kid from... Damn it, I can't remember.
That's definitely another early 90s look right there.
Yeah,
half spike. And the skateboard punks are back. And Shep steals Mike McKenna's skateboard.
Apparently got a new one somehow.
And Shep starts busting out some awesome skateboarding moves. Radical!
Pure luck!
Pure luck.
Football says pure luck.
Cowabunga! A double looping handstand.
Now he has long Zubaz now, does football.
So Shep gives him back his skateboard, but he's very sad because he damaged the wheel. His best board. Boards are hot items back then.
What is this?
So Shep gives him a brand new one. It's a souped-up, jet-fueled skateboard.
Where Gold the hell wheels. Did he get that?
He's been in his bag all that time.
And why does he give it to this random kid? It's not even Michael Faustino.
Yeah, the kid's a jerk.
Yeah, that kid's been hanging around. He did save Michael Faustino's life. I'd say they're even.
Yes.
And now here's this stupid kid crying again about her cat.
Which looks like a mongoose in the tree.
So Shep again. That's an interesting Zubaz pattern.
Yeah, really.
Are those more hammer pants or are they Zubaz?
Yeah, I think they still qualify as Zubaz.
I think they're Zubaz.
This time the girl's thrown in the air.
Yeah. Hilarity ensues. We gotta get this one last joke in.
One more callback.
He catches the girl, Mr. Perfect style.
That's right. Where's Wade Boggs when you need him?
And he walks off. We didn't get any resolution with the Hot Rod guys.
No.
Never saw them again.
Nope. There, look, the cars are gone from the street. Look at it.
Well, he took care of the neighborhood, cleaned it up.
Yep.
And they were on the top of a legit launching pad. Somehow they got clearance.
Well, this is where
Suitor.
Well, this
is where
Suitors. Not Suitor. The Bounty Hunters.
The Bounty Hunters.
Oh, I thought this was Suitors.
No, it was the Bounty Hunters or the Spider.
Oh, okay.
So they're just going to leave the other one there. Well, actually, it blew up. Oh, look at this.
Look at this.
This is love interest. Marge.
Decided to go into space?
Yeah, well, she likes crazy guys, and she likes guns and football and hot dogs.
And
Herb Chevrolet. So Charlie and Shep say goodbye. Says maybe we'll see her around the universe someday. Charlie's a new man. Shep's a new man. They both learned a lot from each other.
Yep.
Shep learned how to be a big pussy.
Charlie's cut healed quite nicely.
Yeah, that was quick.
What's it been, like 5 weeks or something?
It's pretty space Neosporin.
Maybe they hung out a little bit.
Galactic Neosporin. Maybe threw antifreeze on it.
Well, it's still decent, though.
Mm.
Not as gaping as it was. So they shake hands, and Shep and Marge fly off to have a lot of little Sheps. I really think this movie could have had a sequel. I'm really curious.
I think it could have.
What happened next? That is quite the dress that Olive Oil has on.
Absolutely. That's all.
Oh, she dressed well-dressed poorly. Family, she did in The Shining, right too.
The daughter's straight up early 90s. The stonewashed jeans, sweatshirt. Oh, Beverly Hills University.
Too. Yep.
Excellent.
No, it's Camp Beverly Hills.
Oh, okay. Still, at least we have an idea now.
Yep.
Jeans tucked into the white sneakers. The spider ship leaves. And Shep returns to space.
What's he going to do now? Suitor's dead.
See it. Well, there's still a lot of things you're going to take care of.
But there's other enemies out in the universe.
Still space crime?
Yeah.
Now, Charlie's in his car.
Oh, no. The car survived.
It survived the explosion.
But somehow
Suitor did not.
It's burnt to a crisp. But he's still driving it.
Still runs.
Amazing.
Can't read the license plate anymore.
So the spaceship and Suitor both perished in this fire. But somehow Charlie's car survived, and now we're back at the light again.
And now he no longer respects other people and goes right through the red light.
And the rules.
And now he's stops. A man. He's got man-sized aspirations, so he blows up the light.
He's freed them all from the tyranny of traffic laws.
Exactly. Yes.
And he drives off as the rest of the cars follow. And
be free!
And we hit our credits. So that is Suburban Commando. It was a good time. A little fantasy booking, guys. What do you think happened after this?
It would have been great if Shep Ramsey said something like, I have an intergalactic earthquake to stop, or some type of good...
Well, what do you think they did? Like, do you think he got married to Marge? Do you think they stayed together?
Oh, I believe they stayed together, yes. And I think, Charlie got his, tool room back and is making more intergalactic skateboards.
What do you think he does for work now?
Yeah, I think Charlie started his own firm, like you said.
Yeah.
Tom Morga is the mime, by the way. And Sparkle, the old woman at the fruit stand.
And Billy Sparkle. Sly Williams was the bystander. Did Sly Williams play for the Knicks? I think that's right. Stunts! Brutus Beefcake! Stunts! Wait a minute, how did he do stunts? Wasn't his face caved in, or did that not happen yet?
No, he must have done it right before that.
Wow.
Gino Hart. So yes. The Hart brothers.
The Hart brothers.
Alright guys, what do you think of this movie? What's your grade? What's your rating? Would you watch it again?
Oh, I would absolutely watch it again. I don't think it's quite the level of No Holds Barred.
No?
No. I like No Holds Barred better, but this is very good. And you gotta remember, it's a little different. There's not as much comedy in No Holds Barred. Yeah. There's not as much humor. That's a straight-up action-drama movie. This is an action movie with a little comedy sprinkled in.
A little? I'd say a lot. Andy, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, as I said before, it's a classic piece of film cinema, you know? Makes a great commentary on early 90s suburbia and you can see it killing Christopher Waltz's character.
Yes!
Until he finally breaks free. I think it's an excellent movie. I'd watch it again right now.
All right, let's do it. Let's record this podcast once again.
Take two.
All right, that's a wrap. We're out of here. We'll be back, Tuesday, Scott, with King of the Ring 98?
King of the Ring 98. And then Thursday night, our huge interview with the great J.J. Dillon.
I'm looking forward to it. Hope you guys enjoy this little bonus podcast. Hope you enjoy the little Suburban Commando. We'll be back at you. Have a great weekend. We will talk to y'all on Tuesday night.
Get a new car, Charlie.
Go freeze yourself. Pussy. Today!
Almost like this.